Okay, we're continuing with the third root, the third principle, Hashorash HaShlishi. Remember the Rambam, we're back in the Rambam now. The Rambam is giving us the third principle based on which we can know what gets counted as part of Taryag and what doesn't. So the Rambam says, we're learning Rambam now, back in the Rambam.
What was the first principle?
The first principle is that you can't count rabbinic mitzvot. That was his first principle. And the Ramban defended those who do, because one of his defense, he brought two defenses, if we're already mentioning that. One is that there's a version in the Gemara, there's a girsa that says, Taryag mitzvos li Yisrael. The Jewish people have 613 mitzvot. It doesn't say all 613 came from Sinai. So if that's what the Gemara reads, then that could include the rabbinic mitzvot. It doesn't say they all have to be biblical. And the other major defense the Ramban brought is he proved from Psukim and the Yerushalmi and Gemaros and Mishnayos, he proved from all of Shas that we can say there are 613 biblical mitzvos, even though seven of them are rabbinic. Sometimes we say something and we mean the general sense. I say, everyone here is a genius. Could be everyone's here is a genius, except for one person. But we do that. And he shows that even the Torah does that. And he shows that the Yerushalmi says that. There are psukim that do that. So the Yerushalmi says, yes, that's the way Torah talks. Torah rounds off. So the Gemara could also round off and say 613 biblical when it meant 607 or 606 biblical and 7 rabbinic. That wouldn't be a contradiction. Hashorash HaShlishi, okay, we're up to the third principle. She'en roi limnot mitzvot she'en nagot ledorot. That you shouldn't count mitzvos that will not be around for generations. If they're short-term mitzvos, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, stick your hand in your shirt. That's not going to be counted as one of the taryag. Hashem tells Moshe, lift your hand over the Nile and turn it to blood. That's not one of the taryag.
What about the red cloud?
Let's see.
We don't have it anymore.
It's an excellent question. Let's wait. If you still have a question when we're done, we'll get to it. Because the Rambam deals with it partially here and partially in the Sefer Mitzvos itself. The Rambam, for example, when he counts the mitzvah not to remove the badim, the sticks, the staffs, from the Aron, he says, maybe you'll tell me what I'm telling you now. He says in the Sefer Mitzvos is in contradiction of this third principle. No, the fact that you cannot physically do mitzvah doesn't mean that the mitzvah doesn't exist. The mitzvah exists, and you don't have the capacity right now to do it. But that doesn't mean the mitzvah doesn't exist till today. Dai says, ki omram, the fact that the Talmud tells us in Makos, Taryag mitzvot nemu lo l'Moshe b'Sinai, that Moshe was told 630 mitzvot at Sinai, moreh aleyot zeh mispar hu mispar ha-mitzvot hanogot ledorot. That should already tell you that these are the mitzvot that will last for generations. Ki mitzvot she'inan hanogot ledorot, because mitzvot that do not last for generations, en kesher lahem b'Sinai, hen she'nemru b'Sinai o b'zulato. They are not connected to Sinai. And really, we have to have a separate class discussing the word Sinai. Here we see in the Rambam this principle, but the word Sinai deserves at least one class, if not a few classes on its own. What the concept is, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. What does that mean? Halacha la Moshe mi Sinai. Why? What's the stress on Sinai? It's not just the name of a place. Here you see the Rambam tells us that Sinai connotes eternal. Sinai, the idea of Taryag mitzvos at Sinai, means there are Taryag mitzvos that are going to be eternally connected to the Jewish people. And the Rambam doesn't feel like he has to explain that. He just says if the Torah identifies it as being Taryag mitzvos by Sinai, that means there are 613 eternal mitzvos. V'omnam kivnu b'omram b'Sinai, what our sages meant when they said there were 613 at Sinai, lefi sheikar haTorah shnitna haya b'Sinai, because the essence of Torah was really given at Sinai, v'umro yitale, that's what the verse says at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Let's remember how things work. We have the book of Bereishis, Shmos. We leave Mitzrayim in Parshas Beshalach. Then in Yisroel we hear the Ten Commandments. Then we have the laws of Mishpatim. And then at the end of Mishpatim, Hashem says, come up the mountain. Moshe comes up the mountain, and Hashem says, Alei Elai Ahara, I want you to come up the mountain, Ve'etnalecha, and I'll give you Luchos HaEven, the Ten Commandments etched in stone. V'atorah, the full Torah, v'amitzvah, and the Mishnah, asher katavti, the ksuvim, lehorosam, with the Gemara, I'll give you all that, come up the mountain, I'll give it to you. He goes up the mountain, he gets the mitzvos of Truma and Tetzaveh and Kisisa, and then the Jews do the Egel, and he gets sent down. So he went up to Sinai, he gets all of the Torah, written law, oral law, Tanakh, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. We have Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, we don't have all of the mitzvos that he was given there, then and there, but we have a tradition that when he went up that time, he got the whole Torah, written and oral. So when the Torah tells us, that's what Hashem says to Moshe, come up the mountain to me. I want you to stay there, and I will give you the everything we said. And the Gemara over there clearly says, the Gemara brings, the Moshe was given Taryag Mitzvos at Sinai, and the Gemara says, what verse indicates this idea? Torah tzivalanu Moshe morasha kilat Yaakov. Moshe commanded us Torah, which is our inheritance. It is our, how do you translate morasha? Okay, that's inaccurate, but okay, we'll use the word inheritance. Rotze lomar mispar Torah. The Talmud over there means to say the numerical value of the word Torah, which is 611. Vehi tafresh yudalef, that's 611. Vanochi velo yeh, the first two commandments, Anochi Hashem lokechen, lo yeh lecha mipi hagvura shamum, that they heard from Hashem directly, uvehem nishlemu tayag mitzvot. So there you have it, 613. Yirtzu bezeh siman, what our sages meant by giving us this sign, 611 plus 2 equals 613, we're given at Sinai, shadavar shetziva lanu Moshe, velo shmanu ki imimenu, hu mispar Torah, that the things Moshe commanded us, and we didn't hear it from anywhere else but from him, that has the numerical value of Torah. Vekara morasha kilat Yaakov. And that's called, the pasuk says, morasha, meaning it's a continuation. It's your inheritance. It's for generations. That's this principle. That what gets counted in the 613? The things that are for generations. The things that are morasha, that you're going to keep passing on. If you have a mitzvah that's not going to last for generations, you can't count that as a morasha. That's that generation. And inheritance is that which continues for generations, as the verse says, like the days of the heaven over the earth, that's an inheritance. Umram gamken, the Talmud over there breaks it down. The Talmud says you have 248 proactive commandments, 248 mitzvos asei, and those correspond to the 248 limbs of the body. It's as though each limb tells you do this mitzvah. You have 365 prohibitions corresponding to the 365 days a year, and so it's as though each day of the year tells you watch out from this aveira. So he says, the way the Talmud words it, that each limb tells you do the mitzvah. It's as though each day warns you, don't do the aveira. That's a proof that this number is eternal. It cannot include mitzvos that stop being mitzvos, that are just for a generation or two or ten. Because you see, it's an eternal concept corresponding to the days of the year. If part of what was counted were mitzvos that do not last for generations, so then this rule that each day corresponds to mitzvah and tells you keep this mitzvah doesn't work once that mitzvah is no longer relevant. And then this line only works for a limited amount of time, this line in Talmud. So that, says the Rambam, is my principle. You can only count mitzvos that last forever, and the proof to it is the fact that they're called morasha, and the proof to it is the fact that there's a correspondence between our limbs and the days of the year. Yeah?
If you said so when it comes to Tzivui Hashem, do we know that a mitzvah or any kind of tzivui that was given by Nevi'im, how do we know that it was not for that generation alone and is still that? Still on for our generation. How do we know when a tzivui from Nevi'im is done, is completed, is achieved their goal and their potential? Its potential.
I think each case you have to see that case. Yechezkel says, build the base of Mikdash. So the Rambam says, all along throughout the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, Everyone assumed that the second Beis HaMikdash would be the fulfillment of Yechezkel's prophecy. Right? Let's say it would have been. Then that's it. We did what the Navi told us to do. Along came the Nevi'im, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and they headed the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and they said, no, that's not how you should build it. They built it differently. Suddenly all the rabbis understood. Yechezkel wasn't talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. He was talking about a third Beis HaMikdash. It's still going to come. Is that added to the Tariag Mitzvahs? No, because that's a mitzvah. When we'll do it, we'll do it. Mashiach's going to come. We'll build the third Beis HaMikdash.
I'm not saying to be added to Tariag Mitzvahs.
So that's how we know when it's finished. We have to fulfill. Sometimes we have to fulfill based on a Navi. Sometimes we have to fulfill based on our understanding. But once it's fulfilled, it's fulfilled. Yeah?
How disheartening does that have to be when you build the second big coming Dash, you're like, oh wait, now it has to be a third one, which means this one has to be destroyed and the third one has to be rebuilt.
So we discussed this in our class in Zechariah on Fridays. We discussed that before they entered Eretz Yisrael the first time, they had a nevuah when they were leaving Mitzrayim. Ad yavom Hashem, ad yavom zukanita. They already had a prophecy that they're going to be exiled from Eretz Yisrael before they even entered. Before they built the first Beis HaMikdash, they had a nevuah that the first Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And when the Navi Zechariah is telling them, you'll build the second, he's already telling them the second will be destroyed. So we suggested that maybe the idea is, on the one hand, you think it's disheartening. On the other hand, human beings have a tendency to desire something to hold on to. And sometimes it reaches a point of avodah zarah. Like there are people who said, if this happens, then everything's a lie. I'm saying in short something which we expanded on in class, but it's not true. And maybe part of what the Torah is giving us, maybe, we suggested, maybe is a balanced view. As big and as great and as important as Eretz Yisrael is, as the first Beis HaMikdash is, as the second Beis HaMikdash is, from the onset Hashem is saying, but Judaism is not only that. Meaning the Navi in Yechezkel says, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Am Yisrael thought, that's it, no more Judaism. No Beis HaMikdash, no Judaism. No Eretz Yisrael, no Judaism. No Moshe Rabbeinu. What are we going to do? No Judaism. They went to the Hegel without Moshe, right? There are many times that there's a human tendency to put the whole religion on one idea. And the Torah repeatedly warns us, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but right, there's a story about, speaking of creating things that you know are going to be destroyed and not being able to see the fruit of your work. There's a story about this there's this elder Jew, and he was getting on in years, and he was planting himself a tree. So this goy came along and said to this old Jew, like, you're planting this fruit tree, but you're never going to see its fruit, it wouldn't be natural for you to live to be able to see its fruit. Why are you planting this tree if you're not going to be able to see its fruit? So the other said, I may not see its fruit, but I'm planting this tree for my children. So we Jews just don't think of what we will see and what will happen to us. We think about future generations and what's good for Am Yisrael. So even though it may be disheartening to build a temple which you think is going to be destroyed, which you think, it's pointless, just like you can say it's pointless to plant this fruit tree, you're never going to see, it's good for all on Israel.
Okay. V'kvalta agam ken zulatenu b'shor shazeh. And on this point, others have also erred. Umana ba'avur she'etzer lo ha'yicholet. Because he was short on skill, he counted, v'lo yavo lirot kevalat ha'kodesh. The mitzvah, this is what the Rambam says about someone, he doesn't tell us who. He says, one of the people who counted mitzvos was short on skill, so he was, I guess, short of 613. So he, the Rambam doesn't mince any words. So he counted the mitzvah where the Torah says that those that are not involved in the folding up of the Holy of Holies shouldn't be around, so they don't end up getting killed when we fold up the Holy of Holies as they're traveling in the desert. Now that was a mitzvah for 40 years. As we're traveling in the desert, when they fold up the Holy of Holies, those that it's not relevant to should not be around. They shouldn't get killed. Because umana lo yavodod. He also counted the mitzvah of the Levites that when they reach a certain age, they're no longer going to work in folding up the tabernacle. Now that's also only relevant during the years that we're in the desert. Now that's a big machlokas. I'm sure the Ramban is going to give us some insight on that, because that's not so clear that that's only in the desert. These mitzvos were only relevant for the 40 years of the desert. Even though the Talmud does tell us, where do we have an allusion in the Torah to the idea that if someone steals a beam, if someone steals something of the holies of the Beis HaMikdash, that that's prohibited? That's the verse that says, lo yavo lirot, they shouldn't come see as everything is folded up. But that's not the mitzvah. That mitzvah alludes to the idea that you can't even look at the Holy of Holies. Of course, you can't even take anything from it. The yesh dai sipuk b'omram remez, and the Rambam says it should have sufficed the fact that the Talmud calls it a remez. The Talmud says this is an illusion. This isn't what the pasuk's talking about. The shepashte dekai nochen, and the fact that the literal reading of the verse does not give us this mitzvah. We derive it from here, but that's not the mitzvah. So you can't count that as one of the 613. And you know what? If someone steals it, he doesn't get misa b'dei shamayim. Over there it says, don't go looking, because whoever does will get the death penalty. Obviously, we're not really deriving from that, gonevet hakasva, because if we were, then the same punishment should apply, where the Torah says there's a death penalty. And I'm in awe. I'm baffled by this person. Shemana elu alavin. If you're going to count these prohibitions, lama lo mana, then why didn't he also count omro baman, that when the Torah says regarding the man, ishal yotel mimenu ad boker, God says don't leave over anything till tomorrow morning. That's a prohibition. If you're going to count mitzvos that were relevant for only 40 years, so count that too. The Torah says, as you're passing by, you're traveling next to the Moabites, Al tatzar et Moab, al titgar ba milchama. Hashem says, don't you lay siege on the Moabites. Don't you bother them. Don't you spur them into war. So the Torah warned us then, as you're traveling, don't do it. It's a prohibition for a day, a week. But if you're going to count short-term prohibitions, so why didn't you count that too?
So it doesn't mean that this mitzvah was not
internal. Right? Same thing, the Torah warns the Ammonites, don't lay siege on them, don't spur them into war. He should have also counted omro, that which the Torah said, when people were getting killed by the snakes, the serpents, Hashem said to Moshe, make yourself a copper serpent, put it on a pole, hold it up high. Why didn't he count that as a mitzvah? So it was relevant for however long. And the verse says, Hashem tells Moshe, when the man starts falling, I want you to take a flask, fill it with man, put it in the Holy of Holies with the Aron, keep it as a commemoration for the Jewish people. So Moshe was told to do one action one day and put it in the Holy of Holies. Why didn't he count that too?
But keeping is forever, though.
Oh, okay. So you have a good question. Kmo shemana tumat ha-meches v'chanukat ha-mizbeach. When we had to take a tax off of the loot that we conquered from the Midianites, he counts that as a mitzvah. When we inaugurated the Mizbeach, he counts that as a mitzvah. So why don't you count the other things? V'chen yimneh heyun chonim nishtosh yamim. He counted the commandment that Hashem said, prepare yourself, in 3 days' time I'm coming down and giving you the Torah. If you count that, why don't you count the others? V'gamken, gamatzon v'abakar al yiru. He counted the prohibition, don't let your cattle graze next to the mountain. When we were at Mount Sinai, Hashem said, until I leave the mountain, don't let your cattle graze there. If he counted those, the prohibition, don't go up the mountain. Rabin Kumuele, he counted a bunch of them. How did he decide which he does count and which he doesn't count? He doesn't tell you. We'll see in the Ramban. He doesn't tell you. And to an extent, he only presents you with his issues with the one who's counting. When we'll see the Ramban, we'll suddenly see, hey, wait a second. It sounded ridiculous, but it's not. Let's wait. That's what the Ramban's here to do, to come and show you that as much as you think that the people the Rambam was attacking are ridiculous, I'll explain them to you.
There are instances of one-time mitzvot that all mitzvot counters are mitzvot that count, including the Rambam. Like, I'm just thinking the Mashkof, just for that Pesach, first Pesach, isn't that, doesn't the Torah say over there, you know, this is for all the Boros?
It says they'll know, generations will know. It doesn't say they will put the Dam, no. They will know that this is what I did. I can't think of any, but I don't remember all 613 offhand.
That's
sort of
opinion, you know, I guess, I think some opinions, like Rashi, that said that the return is if you don't pay your rents, it will somehow come down.
There are two sources in Midrashim, two sources in Chazal, and Chazal seemed to say there are two options as to how it's going to be. And depends on us.
Mm-hmm.
What?
By what?
Will the third Beis Hamikdash come down from heaven, or will we build it? There are two approaches. And
so, I mean, so the Rambam would have to be of the opinion that we'll build by hand, because if not, then there would be a mitzvah that was not because at some point Hashem, so to speak.
Which mitzvah? Vasu v'mikdash? Okay. You see, the Rambam holds that. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mashiach. He says that that's part of what he's got to do. ולא יספק בעל שכל כאלו כולם מצוות נאמרו לו למשה ציווי ועזרה. Anyone who has any intellect will agree that these are mitzvos. I'm not contesting the fact that they were commandments. אך כולם היו לפי שעה, but they were commandments for that time. ואינן נוהגות לדורות, they are not relevant for generations, ולכן לא יימנו, and that's why they shouldn't be counted. ובעבור השור שזה אין ראוי למנות ברכות וקללות שנצטוו. Because of this principle, you don't count the fact that they were commanded when they enter Israel to divide the tribes and have the blessings and the curses on our Grizim and our Eval. That doesn't get counted. It was a one-time occurrence. Behen begrizim ve'eval, shenitztavu behen begrizim ve'eval. Ve'lo binyan ha-mizbeach shenitztavinu livnoto bevoinu be'eretz Kenan. There's also a mitzvah, the Torah says, when you enter Eretz Kenan, build an altar. That was one time. It's not a mitzvah forever, so you don't count that. Ke'elu kulam mitzvot lefi sha'a. These are all mitzvos that were temporary, that they were a mitzvah for then. ולא הציווי שציוונו שנקריב כל בהמה שנרצה לאכול ממנה שלמים, כי זה ציווה במדבר לבד. Hashem says, when we were in the desert, we weren't allowed to eat meat whenever we wanted. Anytime you wanted to eat meat, you had to bring a shlamim sacrifice. But that was only relevant for 40 years. When we entered Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, then hutal b'sal ta'ava. That the Torah permitted us to eat meat just because we wanted to. You could slaughter the animal and eat it. You don't have to bring a carbon. So the fact that we had 40 years where we had a mitzvah to bring a carbon shlomim anytime we wanted to eat meat, that's not a long-term mitzvah. Ve'hu amro, the pasuk says, ve'viyum l'shem, if you want to eat meat, bring it to Hashem. Amru b'sifra, the medrash in Sifra says, ve'viyum zo mitzvah taseh. When Hashem says, bring it, that's a mitzvah taseh. אבל היא במדבר לבד. But that's a mitzvah only as long as we were in the desert. כמו שבאר במשנה תורה, just as the Torah clarifies in the book of Devarim, הותר בשר תאווה לדורות, the Torah tells you that they could eat meat whenever they wanted in future generations, והוא אמרו, that's what the Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, בכל אהבת נפשך תאכל בשר. When you enter Eretz Yisrael, whenever you want, eat meat. The Torah says that the mitzvah is over then. ואילו היה ראוי למנות כל משהו מזה אמין, and if we should really count all the mitzvahs that are like this, היה מה שצווה בו משה מן היום שהתנבא עד יום מותו, then what Moshe was commanded from the first day he received prophecy to the day he died, חוץ מהמצוות הנוהגות לדורות, leave out all our mitzvahs that are relevant for generations, just the personal mitzvahs. Moshe is told, hit the Nile. Moshe is told, throw the sand. Moshe is told, put your hand in your jacket. Take your hand out of your jacket. Throw the snake on the ground. Go before Paro. Come back from Paro. Just count all the personal commandments Moshe got in his lifetime. Aside from the mitzvahs that are relevant for generations, that would be Yotel Mishloshmot Mitzvot. You end up with more than 300 mitzvos. If you count everything Moshe was told to do in Mitzrayim and in building the Mishkan and the Yimei Miluim and the other commandments, kulam ktuvim b'Torah, all of them are written in the Torah. Hashem says, come up the mountain. Okay, that's a mitzvah to say? Yeah, it's a mitzvah to say for that moment. Some of them are proactive, some of them are prohibitive. And being that this person did not count all of them, yitchayev be'echach shelo timne gam achat mehem. So then you have to be consistent and don't count any of them. Ve'lo kmo she'asa zulateinu, and not to do like others did, she'lakach mehen davar al tzad ha'ezer, she'kasher yagal limtzoa mispar. When he was short on the number 613, so he stuck in a few to fill in the number. Don't do that, says the Rambam. Ve'ze ma she'kivanu lever b'shor she'zeh. This is what we wanted to explain over here in this principle. So let's start seeing the Ramban. We're going back the beginning of this route, and where's the Ramban? outer column on the left hand side. Haikar Hashlishi, the third principle. Amar Barav Shein Roi Sheimnu Mitzvot Sheinan Ledorot. The Rambam said, Maimonides said, don't count mitzvos that are not relevant for generations. V'zeh davar barur eino ne'elam klal, and this is obvious, she'ilu maninu ha-mitzvot amurot l'sha'a, hayu manin kol mitzvah she'ba b'mitzrayim uva'midbar b'mitzvot ha'seh. If we'd really count every mitzvah that had short-term relevance, then you got to count everything in Egypt, in the desert, in the proactive and prohibitive, v'ya olel cheshbon gadol, and then it would really be a big number, k'mo sh'amar harav. Like the Rambam said, V'chas v'shalom shebal halachot gedolot ite b'zeh. God forbid. Now he tells us who's the one the Rambam's attacking. Bal halachos gedolos, Rav Yehudai Gaon. But he says, fear not. He didn't err. With all due respect to the Rambam, this was a misrepresentation. He didn't, bal halachos gedolos didn't get confused. Aval asher mana v'lo yavo lirot kevala et hakodesh. Okay, so now he's going to take the Rambam on one by one. Baal Halachos Gedolos counts the mitzvah that you shouldn't be present when they fold up the Holy of Holies. Mipnei shu etzlo mitzvah ledorot, because Baal Halachos Gedolos holds that's a mitzvah that's relevant still today. Mima she'amru, because the Talmud says, begonevet ha-kasva, that if you steal a pole from the Beis HaMikdash, ve'hecha remizi, the Talmud says, where do you have an allusion to this? Tichtiv lo evo lirot kevalat ha-kodesh. Because it says, don't even look when they fold up the Holy of Holies. So obviously you can't take anything from the Holy of Holies to your own home. And the Rambam said, don't give me that answer because the Talmud says it's just an illusion. The Rambam said, I have three proofs it shouldn't be counted. One, the Talmud calls it a remez. Two, no one's going to give him the death penalty. Three, the verse doesn't say it explicitly, so how could you count that as the mitzvah? Those were the Rambam's three claims. So the Ramban says, okay, so I'll take you on, Rambam. You would agree that if I could prove that you get the death penalty, then you would agree it should be counted, because then it's a real derivation from the Pasuk, right? The Ramban is taking him on one of the three claims. And I don't get the Rambam, says Nachmanides. What do you want, says the Ramban? It's worse than Misa Bidei Shamayim. He gets the death penalty by our courts. The Mishnah says, if you see someone stealing from the Holy of Holies, you could kill him. So what do you want? So he doesn't get Misa Bidei Shamayim. He gets worse. He gets killed as he's doing it. If you catch him doing the act, stealing from the Holy of Holies, the Mishnah says, "Kana'in pogimbo." You could kill him as he's walking out of the Holy of Holies. Aval bevaday chayav mita b'dei shamayim nami. And certainly he's also chayav misa b'dei shamayim. Kedamrin anatam b'gmal sanedrin. The Talmud over there says in Sanhedrin, "Ba'minei ravacha baravun umer rav sheishat kohen sheshimesh b'tima chayav mita b'dei shamayim olo." If a kohen served in the temple when he was defiled, does he get misa b'dei shamayim or not? Tnina, kohen sheshimesh betuma, en achav kohanim mevin to lebetin. So the Ramban, in his classical way, is proving a point, and from that point he's going to prove this point. So the Kohanim had their own system of law and order. If they caught a person sleeping on the guard, they didn't say, hey buddy, wake up. They'd put their torch on his clothing, and he'd start burning, and he'd realize, hey, I was sleeping on the job. That was the Kohanim, they didn't play games. If a guy was in the temple and he fell asleep, he's in hot water. So the Gemara over there asks, if a Kohen served while defiled, does he get the death penalty at the hands of heaven or not? So the Gemara answers the question by quoting the Brisa says, if a Kohen served while defiled, the other Kohanim wouldn't bother bringing him to court. The young Kohanim would take him out of the courtyard. They take axes and break his skull. So there was no, you know, sorry buddy, yeah, mistake, okay. They didn't take him to court. So, now, if he was really chayv misa b'dei shamayim, lishvikua v'lekatlua b'dei shamayim. So the Talmud says, if he was chayv misa b'dei shamayim, why don't they just let heaven take care of him? So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Can it be that the Torah says he's not chayav misa, but we're going to kill him? Okay, now we're going into a long run on proof. I think we have to bench and clean up, so we're going to have to pick up here Bezrat Hashem next time. I know, but until people bench and clean up, 10 minutes is Myra. So we'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem.